All right, praise the Lord, we're on. My name is Ori Rehm, I'm your host, and this is Psalm 91 Dispatch. I wanted to come on here and talk about habitual sin. That is something, boy oh boy, that is something we really need to address in this day and age. Habitual sin. Sin that is something maybe that you're struggling with, something that you've done for years and you haven't been able to break free from. And I want to use Cain and Abel as an example of what happens when we give in to that sin, what happens to our lives when we let sin run our lives. But before I get started, I want to pray to the Lord and ask for guidance. Father God, you are the Most High God. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the Father of Glory. You are the King of all kings. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Father, I just ask for your guidance in this podcast episode, and help me bring the teaching that I am trying to teach here, or to bring into light what I'm trying to show. I ask this in the name of Jesus. So we're going to get started with Cain and Abel. Now, a lot of you are probably familiar with this, but we're going to get started just by reading about it. So we're going to start in Genesis 4, the New King James Version. It's a lot easier to read, and I know that I've been very stuck on King James Version for a lot of years, but when it comes to going on a podcast and trying to pronounce the thous and the theys and the thys, it's not that easy. It's easier to read than it is to pronounce. So for sake of ease, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. So if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Genesis 4. And we're going to get started just by reading this out, and then we'll go into depth about Cain and Abel. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now, so there's just a few points I just want to make clear. So Cain was the firstborn. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. It was harvest time when they offered their tithe to the Lord. And this is before the patriarchs. This is before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is long before Israel became a specific people. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing here. Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible Notes says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at your door. And there's something I wanted to look at. So, let me go back to here. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So it just kind of says that he just, you know, he gave an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. There was no, it doesn't seem like he took any time to get the best of his offering. He just brought an offering. It wasn't the best of his crop. He just brought an offering to God. It's like he overlooked the tithe that he was giving to the Lord. And then it says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. So versus Abel, he brought in the firstborn of his flock, of their fat. So the very firstborn, the first fruits of his offering. You know, it was the first fruits. It was the choice meat, you know, firstborn and of their fat. And the Lord respected his offering, but he did not respect the offering of Cain's offering. So it says Cain also in Hebrews concordance, it says 7803. So possibly a metal worker. I find that kind of interesting. So the first son of Adam and Eve and a farmer by occupation, as an offering to God, he brought some of his fruits of the ground, while his brother brought an animal sacrifice. Angry when his offering was not received, Hebrews 11:4, shows that he lacked a right disposition towards God. He murdered his brother. He added to his guilt before God by denying the act and giving no evidence of repentance. He fled to the land of Nod and there built a city, becoming the ancestor of a line that included Jubal, forefather of tent-dwelling cattle keepers, Jubal, forefathers of musicians, Tubal-Cain, forefathers of smiths, and Lamech, a man of violence. Cain is described in the NT as being of the evil one. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Are you offering God a generous offering of the harvest he has provided you? Are you giving him the best or first fruits of your paycheck? Do you want to be blessed in the land or cursed? We're going to go into Deuteronomy and look at the blessings of God. But this kind of rings true to me. And it really rings a bell in my life. If you have really struggled with like finances and you haven't been a consistent tither, like for me, for instance, I haven't been a consistent tither. I have kind of sporadically tithed some of my fruits, some of the blessings that God has given me. I have, you know, but it hasn't been until recently that God's been really putting this on my heart that you know, until you do this faithfully, you know, how am I going to bless you? And this is a foundational principle in our work with God. I mean, you want to be blessed when it comes to God. Why wouldn't you be? So it only makes sense that we give 10%. And that's just like the beginning. I mean, you can go above and beyond that. And whatever you give to God, he's going to bless that. He's going to over and above bless that in many, many areas. And this is also part of the relationship with God, because he's blessed you with the job that you do have and with the circumstances that you have and the skills that you have. He's blessed you with all those. So it only seems right that we give back to him. And, you know, there's certain different ways that we can give back. We can give back to our church. We can, you know, if you see somebody like a homeless person, you can buy them lunch or buy them coffee. You know, these are little things we can do to tithe into the kingdom of God. You can tithe your time as well. You can go and volunteer. You can also, you know, go buy groceries for, say, a single mother who's struggling, right? These are important things that God loves, and he will bless you. He will bless you and bless you. As you give 10% to God, you're going to see him bless you in everything that you do. And this is something I'm trying to practice right now, because I've gone through a really long period of being unemployed. And, you know, I realized I was just spending my money so foolishly. It would have been better spent if I would have took 10% and gave it to the church than instead of food or whatever I was buying. You know, I was doing crypto trading, and I mean, this was months ago. I was also gambling. I lost a lot of money from gambling. That was pretty foolish of me. But, you know, these are our walk. This is our walk with God. And, you know, he wants us to live a holy and just life. You know, he doesn't want us to just be listeners of the word. He wants us to be doers of the word as well. So I want to go a little bit deeper into this. I'm just going to bring up some study Bibles. I really like the one from, it's called NIV, The Case for Christ Study Bible. So, yeah, so it says, Cain brought some of the fruits, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The contrast is between an offering of plant life and an offering of animal life, but between a careless, thoughtless offering and a choice, generous offering. Motivation and heart attitude are all important. And God looked with favor on Abel and his offering because of Abel's faith, indicative of the recognition that all the productivity of the flock is from the Lord and all of it belongs to him. So yeah, exactly. Everything God gives you, I mean, the more you give God, he has to bless you. Kevin Zadai, I know, he does some really cool stuff in his ministry. What he talks about is, like, you know, he's like, I love to sow, but he's like, I like to sow in a way that God has to bless me. And what he means by that is, like, he gives to people that can't give back to him. So he'll give to people who the poor, the needy, the struggling, because he knows that they won't be able to pay him back. So what happens then is God has to intervene and pay you back. This is a principle of the universe. Is like it's a principle of sowing and reaping. So whatever you give to God, I mean, I challenge you, go 25%, go 30%. I mean, especially in the days and age that we live now, I mean, food is so expensive right now, and I'm almost considering now, a lot of people probably aren't going to be taking vacations this year because they can't afford it. They can't afford it. The cost of living is going through the roof. But this is because we, as a nation, I mean, even in Canada, especially in Canada, is getting really bad. We have pushed God out of our schools. We have pushed God out of our lives. And this is a punishment from God. This is what God does. He removes himself, but he also removes his blessings. So if you're feeling convicted on this message, this is a good thing. Don't let it cause you to be like Cain and to get bitter and angry and want to kill somebody and hurt somebody. And, you know, this walk with Jesus is just, it's such a precious walk, but there's just so much involved in this walk, and we can't do this on our own. It needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be led by God. So maybe there's something in particular that God wants you to maybe invest in, or maybe he wants you to pay for somebody's rent. I don't know what he wants you to do, but the Holy Spirit, if you ask him, he will let you know where and how much he wants you to tithe, or where he wants you to put that money. And if you do that, if you take the time to do that, God is going to bless you. So I want to read, this is from the ESV Global Study Bible. The fact that God had regard for Abel and his offering, but not for Cain, does not mean that shepherds are better than farmers, or that animal offerings are better than plant offerings. Both kind of offerings will be part of the latter Levitical system for offerings of the fruit of the ground, see Deuteronomy 26:2. This passage and others suggest that God's acceptance of Abel and rejection of Cain had to do with the attitudes of their hearts. Cain's fundamentally bad heart can be seen in this resentment toward his brother and his unloving attitude in the rest of the passage. See also 1 John 3:12. As compared to Cain's offering, Abel's offering from the firstborn of his flock is more costly, perhaps expressing greater devotion. Amen. So yeah, I mean, if it truly is, that's what God does. He looks at the condition of our heart, the motivation of our heart. You know, we really can't lie to God. We really can't get away with trying to trick the Lord. Like, he knows the very thoughts in our heads and the motives in our hearts. He's beyond time and space, and he knows things before they happen. So he's just, you know, he wants us to act in a proper way. So let's act like Abel did. Let's give him the first fruits. You know, when you first get your paycheck, let's give him, you know, as soon as you get that paycheck, take 10% right off the top and be like, I'm sowing this to the church or whatever it is. You know, you take 10% and you're obedient. And then on top of that, you know, maybe you could set aside a little bit more for just random occurrences, which could be, you know, for me, I love buying coffees, or it gives me an opportunity to witness to people. When you buy somebody something, you know, they kind of have this inclination that they need to, you know, at least listen to you. You have something nice to say to them. And that's just a great way you can witness to people. But let's not forget that part of the gospel is telling people that their sin is separating them from God. Their sin is keeping them from their walk with the Lord. And the last thing I want to do in this life is to live just like a mediocre Christian life. I want to be an overcomer. I want to be somebody who, when they see a challenge in front of them, they take that challenge and they overcome it, and they're successful. It's so important to me to do that, and I hope it's important to you, because it's important to God. God wants you to flourish. He wants you to not just be, I mean, I kind of want to talk about habitual sin as well. It says this habitual sin, I mean, in this day and age, one of the biggest ones, and it's funny I've been kind of working on this a little sporadically, this message, habitual sin, for a week or so. I'll be honest, I've been lazy. I've been a little bit lazy, been a little overwhelmed by stuff that's been going on. But I feel convicted, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna get back into this and give it a better shot. I need to be more organized with my time and put more effort in my relationship, not only with God, but on this podcast. I wanna bring value to this podcast. I don't wanna just be speaking, but I wanna show people that being honest is a very important thing in a Christian's walk. You wanna be honest. You want to be faithful, and you want to be doers of the word. So, habitual sin. Okay, so I want to read out some of the blessings in Deuteronomy 28. So just give me a second here. Deuteronomy. And 28. Okay, so Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Hey, there you go. That's pretty cool. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will bless you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Hey, I like that. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, and the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So, I mean, there's a lot of blessings for obedience. And boy, oh boy, there's a ton of curses. There's a ton of curses. And I mean, I can even say that even in my life, a lot of these curses have happened because I was disobedient at one point or another. The altar at Mount Ebal was to serve as a reminder of the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. Actions have consequences. Because the Israelites neglected to obey God, they fell into the hands of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. All believers have God in their heart, but not all believers have given their whole heart to God. The question is not, how can I have more of the Spirit, but rather, how can the Spirit have more of me? Take inventory, go down the list. Your tongue, do you tend to stretch the truth, puff up the facts? Your language, is your language a sewer of profanities and foul talk and grudges? Do you keep resentments parked in your garage? like garage, but garage. Are you unproductive and lazy? Do you live off the system, assuming that the church or the country should take care of you? Do your actions interrupt the flow of the Spirit in your life? Remember Paul's instruction. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Harbored sin interferes with Spirit circulation. Confessed sin, however, splices the cables and restores the power. This could take time. Don't give up on it. Don't let stumble stop you. Come and keep coming. Ask and keep asking. Your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. God wants your life marked by obedience and integrity. How do you justify avoiding God? Because of money? Because some Christian has done you wrong? Because Sundays are for sports? Evaluate, adjust, and begin a fresh walk with God. Yeah, I mean, this talks about a lot of really good things. I mean, let's talk about it. Are you still swearing and talking like a sailor, so to speak? You know, is your conversation full of love or full of hate? I mean, we need to really address these things, people, because I don't know if you've noticed, but I didn't want to talk about it in this podcast, but I'll just mention it. There's an eclipse on April the 8th, 2024. And there was an eclipse 7 years ago. I can't remember the date, but it went from west to east across the United States, from kind of up to down. And it went through seven Salems. And actually Salem, the reason they're called Salem is actually, it's a shorter form for Jerusalem, Salem. Interesting. And then 7 years later, we have this eclipse coming, and it goes from north to south, and it's hitting Nineveh. There's all these towns of Nineveh all the way down. I don't know exactly how many. Some people have said 11, some have said 9, but there's only two Ninevehs in Canada, and it goes over one of them in Canada. So really interesting, but it creates an X. X marks the spot right over the United States. And I believe this is a warning to God's people. And he talks about in the Bible, like, let me find this, actually, the sign of Jonah. You will receive the sign of Jonah. I got it here. So Matthew 12, 38 to 40, the scribes and Pharisees asked for a sign. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want a sign. We want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So, wow, that is really incredible, because this eclipse, it's over a 3 day period, I think. I'm not sure though. I've heard of that. Don't quote me on that, but I don't know. But this is interesting. So will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So where did Jesus go when he died? He went into the heart of the earth. What did he do down there? Probably proclaim victory over the enemy. Amen. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So 1400 years before Jesus' birth, Israel received God's command to keep the Sabbath holy. In their zeal to obey this command, the Jewish leaders gradually developed many rules and traditions to avoid working on the Sabbath. Jesus overruled the traditions and focused on God's purpose in establishing the command. When God commanded the Israelites not to work on the Sabbath, Jesus knew that law was given to relieve the people. Jesus focused on the purpose of the Sabbath. Therefore, he knew it was not a sin to take care of one's needs or to help others on the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Indeed, he is Lord of all. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus claimed. And the epistle to the Hebrew concurs, Christ is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus occupies the peerless, Christ the Redeemer pedestal. He claims not the most authority, but all authority. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Don't hurry through those words. They're either the last straw or the ultimate truth. They warrant deliberate thought. Christ claims ultimate clout, unshared supremacy. He steers the ship and pilots the plane. When he darts his eyes, oceans swell. When he clears his throat, birds migrate. He banishes bacteria with a signal thought, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Why do you keep the Sabbath command? What makes Sunday a unique day for you? You can avoid business as usual on Sunday. Next Sunday, focus on the greatness of God and all that he's done for you. See if that doesn't jumpstart your worship. So, I mean, it's obvious to me that this is a sign of judgment. And it's not just a sign of judgment. It's a sign of, like, we need to clean up our lives because God is coming to judge this world, and he's not a respecter of persons. I don't care if you've served the Lord your whole life. If you have habitual sin in your life, that's going to take you to the grave. You know, you're saved by grace through faith, but if you are practicing habitual sin on a regular basis, you need to get it out of your life. It'll send you to hell. You will go to hell if you have sin in your life. Yes, you're saved by grace through faith, but it doesn't give you the permission to go out and just sin willy-nilly and just say, well, I did this today, so it's okay if I do this. Like, God's not going to put up with it. God's not like us, okay? He can't be... We can't manipulate him. We can't, you know, force his hand. Unless it's like the word of God and we're just reminding him of the scriptures of the word that he has spoken to us. You know, so habitual sin, I mean, like, are you dealing with pornography? I know I was for a while, and I prayed to God to help me. And he helped me with it. And I was able to overcome it. And it's tough because it's everywhere. Pornography is everywhere. I mean, I try to stay off my phone at night because if I don't, I know I'm going to get in trouble with that. So I know he's done this for me, and you know, he's blessing me because of this. I'm moving on to other things now. You know, there's always things that we can clean up in our lives. And like, what are you saying in your thoughts, in your heart? You know, that's another thing that he's getting me to work on is like, what am I saying to myself? You know, am I saying truth and love and hope and joy? Or am I pronouncing curses over myself and others? You know, a lot of times these thoughts, they're kind of autopilot. So until we like really break them apart and break them down, we're not going to know what's going on. So, you know, don't let the habitual sin take you to the grave where you end up in hell. Because I'm telling you, Jesus says a lot of people go to hell. Most people go to hell. Wide is the gate to destruction. Yeah. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and broad. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it. I mean, a lot of the testimonies of people like going to hell, I mean, there's some that are absolutely false. All right. But the majority of them, I think, are true. But there's one in particular that one of the first ones I listened to was trying to remember her name. Stephanie Zambrano. She went to hell. And I mean, it just goes to show that most people will end up going to hell. So we need to really take this serious. I mean, think about eternity. Think about your walk with God. Like, is there stuff that you can clean up? Is there stuff that you could work harder on? I mean, maybe you have a lot of stuff on your plate. That's, you know, that's between you and God. But, you know, is there stuff that we can sacrifice? Like, maybe we can turn off the TV a little bit more and, you know, study the Bible a little bit more or help others a little bit more. God will reward you for these things. Like, if it says to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul, and he means that. Those that don't love him with all your heart and with all your soul probably won't make it to heaven. A lot of them probably won't. And I'm not saying this to scare you or condemn you. I'm saying this so that you take this serious and you clean up your life. Because I know all of us could use some work. And I think if you have a pure heart about this and you're really working on your relationship with God, he's going to bless that. And he's going to keep you. He's going to make sure you don't fall. But I think this podcast has come to an end here. And yeah, I just want to say, like, if there's any habitual sin in our lives that we can address, let's address it. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to remove it, to get it out of our lives, and let's walk a holy and just life. I mean, if you want to be used by God, this is the price you pay. You know, others may be able to go out to movies and go to the clubs. You know, you might have to stay home and worship God. That's the price you pay. But you're going to witness the power of God in your life. You know, when you pray for somebody, they're going to get saved. I mean, is there people in your life that you're praying for? I know for me, I'm praying for my family. Because, like, my dad, my mom, sisters, none of them are saved. So I'm believing that God is going to save them. So let's pray for them. But I think this is a good start to the habitual sin. Let's get the habitual sin out of our lives. Praise the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for warring angels to be sent to every listener that listens to this. And I pray for a wall of Holy Spirit fire protection around each and every listener in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your perfect peace. Thank you for your hope that you have in us. And just thank you for teaching us your ways and teaching us how to live a holy and just life. And just thank you, Father, for everything that you do. And we just ask for your perfect peace to be upon everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. And I'll see you again sometime. Or I'll talk to you again sometime. I can't see you. Have a great night.